It is scripturated and recorded down from Philippians chapter 4, reading verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunity we have to worship God's third entry. We're certainly thankful for our reading and our prayer and our singing. We're thankful for all those things and certainly all those that participate in those things. Certainly there are many things to consider and think about. We have many events coming up, and I certainly would encourage you to be involved in any of those that are coming up. Certainly this evening we invite you back. We'll have ice cream after evening services. Certainly come for some spiritual food, but also come for some of that good sweet food. But God's Word is actually compared to sweetness in a few places in the Scripture. God's Word is sweet, and sometimes there's some sweet things on this earth as well that we can enjoy together. This morning, I'd like to consider prayer. And there's certainly many angles that we could look at prayer from, and we could consider it from a lot of different angles. But I'd like you to think of prayer a little bit like a phone call, if you will. You know, many of us have children, and some of us have grandchildren, and some of us even have great-grandchildren, and some even might extend even farther beyond that. But, you know, you think about a phone call. Phone calls are special, and I think we do want our children to call or check in from time to time. I know all my kids are young, but as they grow, you know, I want to have a relationship with my children even after they leave the house. But those phone calls, I think those conversations, the staying in touch is important. It means a lot. And I think we think of that from a parent perspective, is parents want you to call. They want to hear from you. And you know what? I think that as New Testament Christians, we do have to think of God, is that God wants us to make the call. And in terms of that, I think God wants us to have a prayer life. Certainly, we have a prayer life here with the Assembly of the Saints as we pray with and for and together as the Assembly of the Saints. But the Bible also talks about a private prayer life. And I think God wants us to make the call. You know, our Father in heaven has left that line open to us that we can make the call to Him. And I think just as parents would say, you know what, you know, when you leave my house, I want you to stay in touch. I want you to make the call. I want to stay in touch. You know why? Because I care. And I think that our God in heaven is just like that. He wants us to make the call. And I think that we have to think and consider what holds us back from making that call. A call to the Creator of the universe, a God that loves us, cares for us, is concerned for us. What holds us back from making that call? I'd like to think of it from different angles, but trying to think of it from that perspective, will you make the call to God? As a child of God, as a Christian, do you make that call? How often do you make that call? Is that call meaningful to you? Why are you making that call? Just looking at it from different angles. Our reading that was just read for us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, I would like to look there. It says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think prayer can do a whole lot for our lives. And I think sometimes it can be overlooked in a Christian's life, particularly privately, that we forget to pray, or we get too busy to pray, or it's not a habit to pray, and somehow it just slips away. But God wants you to make that call. God wants you to have a prayer life. And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, I think there are some things mentioned there that it can help us with, is that I think prayer can help us with our anxiety. And I think we will face some things in this life. I think prayer can help us with our anxieties in this life. I think prayer can help us with having that peace that we're to grow into. You know, I think that I'm working on a lesson on the fruits of the Spirit. And when you look through those qualities, you know, peace, love, joy, you start looking at those things, you start to realize that many times the way we're almost wired to some degree as humans, but just how almost our default is, maybe that'd be the better way to phrase it, our default almost leads to anxiety before it leads to peace. And our default almost leads us away from joy to joy, but these are manifestations of the Christian life, is that as we live the Christian life and we grow, I think we get closer to love, the love that the Bible wants us to have. We get closer to peace, the peace that the Bible wants us to have. I think we get closer to the joy that the Bible wants us to have. And those are manifestations, I think, of the Christian life and growing and serving and dedicating ourselves to the Word. I think prayer can do a whole lot for our lives, but I think sometimes, perhaps, people overlook it. Prayer is a second thought. Making the call to God is a second thought. It is not built habitually into our lives, and therefore it does not happen. And then perhaps because that important piece is not in our lives, perhaps the anxieties in our life are bigger than they should be because we have avoided this area of our lives. Perhaps we don't have the peace that we should because we've avoided this area of our lives. Perhaps there's a connection there that maybe some have overlooked, but we need desperately. I think there are important things just for us as humans. I think it's important for us just to talk. I think it's important for us to focus on important things. And I think prayer really offers some of these opportunities that people don't think about. Prayer gives you an opportunity to talk. Prayer gives you an opportunity to focus on important things. Prayer gives you an opportunity to consider who is on your side. Prayer gives us so many benefits. But there in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." There are two things there that are connected to prayer. Number one is thanksgiving. Is that when we're praying, you realize that prayer is connected to thanksgiving. And I think that is an important trait in individuals' lives, to be thankful, to be grateful. Because the alternative is to not be grateful. And you know what happens when we become ungrateful? We tend to forget those things. You know, I do think of our military, so many of those men and women who have served, is that if you're thankful for those individuals, you remember what they did, and you have a closer connection, I think, with those individuals and wanting to help them and really, you know, assist them in any way. But if you're not grateful, you know what happens? A lot of times you start to forget. Or maybe it goes the other way. You start to forget and you become ungrateful. Or maybe you're ungrateful and you start to forget. Thankfulness is so important. I think that's one reason that we have the Lord's Supper, is that we need to remember, we need to reflect, we need to be thankful for what God has done. And I think thankfulness leads to faithfulness. I think ungratefulness leads to unfaithfulness. When we're not thankful for what God has done, I think it leads away. There is a purpose there for prayer. And something that's connected to prayer there is thankfulness. Are you thankful? Do you go to God in prayer for thankfulness? That's certainly one aspect. Another aspect there in Philippians chapter 4 there, verses 6 and 7, it says, "With thanksgiving," but it says, "Let your request be made known to God." Certainly, we should be going to God and asking God for help. Help not only for ourselves, but those that are around us. Help for our country, help for our leaders, help for our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's so many things that we can pray for. But two aspects there in Philippians chapter 4 is prayer is connected to thankfulness, and prayer is also connected for asking for help. There are so many great prayers in the Bible. And I think when you really look at the individuals that are faithful and have a very close relationship with the Lord, we see that it is habitual in their lives. It is a part of their lives. I think it's King Hezekiah. When he was in a period of national crisis, when the Assyrians had surrounded him in Jerusalem, you know what he did? He prayed to God. Hezekiah, at another point in his life, he was diagnosed with a terminal illness. He's basically told, "Hezekiah, you are going to die," and he goes to God in prayer. We think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where we see him praying to God in a time of hardship and facing death. We think of Hannah in the Old Testament praying as she goes through a period where she's barren and she prays for a child, has Samuel, and then later on in her life she actually has more children than that as well. There's so many great prayers in the Bible. Prayers connected to individuals in the New Testament as they're trying to spread the word and they're attacked by the government. where they're attacked by society, where they're attacked by people around them, and they pray for courage and boldness. There's so many great prayers in the Bible. But I'd like to reflect on why you really need to make that call. Number one, you really need to make that call. You really need to pray to God as a child of God, because you need to keep the lines of communication open. I think communication is key in any relationship. I think it's key in friendship, but it's also key in our marriages, and I think it's key in our relationship with God, is communication is key. How's your relationship with God? Are the lines of communication open? Because this works two ways. God speaks to us, and we can speak to God. You keep the lines of communication open. Now, we understand how God speaks to us today. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. God, throughout time, has spoken to man in various ways. Sometimes He would speak directly. Sometimes it would be through the prophets. Today, we are spoken to from God through His Word. And I think the Bible really lays this out, although that's not the point of the lesson this morning. But I think the New Testament really lays that out, is that God speaks to us today through the New Testament. Are you keeping the lines of communication open as God tries to speak to you? You know how God's trying to speak to you today? Right through His Word. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to hear what God has to say, if you want God to speak to you, go to God's Word. That's how God will speak to you, and through these words will touch your heart. They will affect your conscience. They will affect perhaps the way you live your life. I mean, the Word of God is powerful. It starts with an any two-edged sword, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And we can see individuals in the Bible that when the Word of God was preached, their heart was cut. Now, sometimes they responded in a very angry and feisty way, even attacking the individual that was speaking God's Word. And sometimes they were cut to the heart and said, you know what? I do need to change my life. God's Word is how He speaks to us today. Have we cut down? Have you cut that line of communication to God? God will speak to you, but He will speak to you through His Word. And His Word is so powerful. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God, through direct message or through principle, we have everything that pertains to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Everything we need for this life, all things that pertain to life and godliness, we can find in God's Word. Are you keeping the line of communication open with God? God wants to speak to you, but He is going to speak to you through His Word. In John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, relationships don't work out when we don't listen. So certainly, when we're talking about keeping the lines of communication open, we need God to be able to speak to us. He's going to speak to us through His Word. So we need to be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 10 and verse 11, where they received the Word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. God's Word is so important. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul. God's Word is so important. You want God to speak to you today? Open up His Word and read it. And let it become a part of you. Let hide that Word in your heart that you won't sin against God. Make the Word a part of your life. It's not a good relationship with God when you're not listening to God. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the things which I say? But there are many people that say, I want to be a friend of God. I want to communicate with God. I want to have a message from God. Well, it's right here, and if you read it and you study it and dedicate yourself to it with some diligence, you will be able to hear the words of God and apply those to your life. That is one way that the communication flows from God, is He has spoken to us through His Word. You want to hear what God has to say? It's right here. But you know what? God has also opened the line of communication where we can speak to God in terms of we can go to God and with thanksgiving and lay those with supplications and also put our requests before God. God speaks to us through His Word, but we can also put our requests before God. Don't have a one-way conversation with the Lord. See, a one-way conversation with the Lord, there's some people out there that want to pray, but they don't want to ever hear what God has to say. They don't read God's Word. They're not concerned what God has to say. Don't have a one-way conversation with the Lord. God will speak to you through His Word, but you should also take advantage of the opportunity that you have to go to God in prayer. Because God cares. You know, you can read God's Word every day like the Bereans as we see them searching the Scriptures daily. You can say, I really want to hear what God has to say, but then you're never going to make a call to God. You're never going to pray to God. You're never going to make a call back. Keep the lines of communication open. We know that in our physical relationship. This is not a one-sided thing. God communicates to us, but you know what? We have an opportunity to communicate with God and lay our request before the God of heaven who created heavens and earth. And why do we not take advantage of that opportunity in our private prayer lives? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says this. I'll start back at verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and following. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. You understand that God does want to hear from you. He wants to hear your struggles, your adversities, your problems, your issues. He also wants to hear thankfulness. But God is there, and He cares. Are you keeping the lines of communication open? Do you pick up that phone and call God with thanksgiving, but also with requests? When's the last time you picked up the phone privately and made that call? I know some of us, that is a part of our lives habitually. But certainly we think of the ideas we find in the Bible, and I think many times we look at the ideas in the Bible and we all come to the conclusion we can all be better. Do you make that call to the Lord? Because you need to make that call to the Lord because you need to keep the lines of communication open. What kind of relationship is this? That we just read God's Word, but we never make any requests to God? That we never go to God in thanksgiving? God cares. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to pick up the phone in terms of our prayer life. He wants you to make that call. Will you make the call that God wants you to make so desperately? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, it says, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those of you who ask Him? You know, this idea of there are some bad dads out there. And I think that can be acknowledged. The Bible kind of acknowledges that. It says even some bad dads out there, if their kid comes to them and asks for a certain thing, even bad dads will say, you know what, I'm going to try to honor that request. I'm going to try to grant that if I can. Even evil individuals will do that. They'll try to grant the request of their kid. And then it says, what about God? Do you think God does not want to hear our requests? That He doesn't want to hear our concerns? That He doesn't want to hear our cares? You don't think God wants to take that call? God wants to hear that call, but you won't make it. Why won't you make that call? That call that the Father wants you to make. It says, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? God cares. You need to keep the lines of communication open. Certainly God has spoken to us, and certainly we should consider this avenue that God has given to us that we can go to God in prayer. I want to keep the lines of communication open with the God of heaven. And I think that's something that individuals need to think about. Am I keeping the lines of communication open with God? See, sometimes people will shut their Bible and they think the line of communication is open with God. It's not open when you shut your Bible and shut your heart and shut your mind.
Your line of communication is not open when you don't go to God in prayer. We need to keep the lines of communication open. And I think we can hurt that line of communication when we are not living the lives that we should. You know, I do think of Malachi, and Malachi in the Old Testament, there's individuals and they're giving a half-hearted effort and they're not serving the Lord the way that they should. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 8 and following, it says this. It's talking about their worship in particular. It says, "And when you offer a blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts?" It says, "But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts?" See, I think we can hinder our line of communication to God. It actually talks about, the Bible talks about husbands and their treatment of their wives, and it says that our prayers can actually be hindered if we're not treating our wives the way that we should. You know that you can actually hurt your own line of communication with God by your conduct and by the way that you're living your life. See, here in the Old Testament, these people are saying, we can just offer anything to God. God doesn't care. God has asked for a pure sacrifice without spot and blemish, and we're going to offer the blind, and we're going to offer these pathetic things to God and not offer our best. And then it says, these people are going to come to God. It says, "But they now entreat God's favor." You know what they're doing? They're asking God for a request. They say, "God, here's this blind sacrifice. We know you asked for this, but we're going to give you this. We don't really care what you want, God. We don't really care about our relationship with you. We don't care about the way we worship. But now we're going to come to you, God, in prayer, and we're going to ask a request." What does it say in verse 9? It says, "But now they entreat God's favor." They're asking God for a request. It says, "That he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts?" See, that's a rhetorical question. These individuals that are not living their lives right are coming to God and say, "God, please help us." And God says, "Really? This is what you're doing? You're not living right? You're not conducting yourself right? And now you want to come and ask for some requests?" Sometimes people handle their lives that way. When we come to God, we need to come to God humbly, and we need to come with repentance many times and say, "You know what, God? I have slipped up. I have made some mistakes. I ask for forgiveness, and I need some help with these particular areas of my life that I'm struggling with." But we need to fight to keep those lines open. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." We want to keep those lines open. And those lines are kept open with humility, and those lines are kept open with repentance as we think about our relationship with the Lord. But number one, you need to make that call. You need to pray to keep the lines of communication open. You know, I heard this said one time by a preacher, and it kind of stuck with me. It says, the devil can't keep God from answering prayer, but he can keep you from praying. You know, I think there's some truth in that. We serve the God of heaven. And when we come with humility and repentance and we're trying to serve the Lord, we're trying to do our best, certainly we're going to fall short. We're not going to live perfect lives, not by any stretch. But it says the devil can't keep God from answering prayer, but he can keep you from praying. Isn't that amazing? We have a line to the God of heaven, and we won't pick up the phone to make the call. What's keeping us back from picking up that phone? A lot of times it's the devil. A lot of times it's the thought that the devil puts in our head, and we won't pick up the phone to call God and ask for help, ask for assistance, to express thanksgiving. The devil can't keep God from answering prayer, but he can keep you from praying. I think there's some truth in that. Number one, we need to make the call. Number one, we need to pray because we need to keep the lines of communication open. God has done everything to keep the lines of communication open for us. He's trying to speak to us through His Word, but also He has given us this avenue where we can speak to God. And do we take advantage of it? Number two, we need to make the call to keep the lines of communication open. Number two, we need to make the call to ask for help. And I think this is something that sometimes we miss, particularly in a nation where we're so prosperous and so many of our basic needs are met and accessible, is that we sometimes, I think, maybe forget, maybe we take for granted, that God is the one that we are dependent upon, and He truly does bless us with everything. Every good thing comes from God. When I think of Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, it says, God has given us life, breath, and all things. I'm dependent on God. I'm depending on God for my next breath. They might eventually charge us for air, but how much did you pay for that last breath you just breathed in? They might charge us someday for air. I don't know, what about your last heartbeat? We are dependent upon God. Life, breath, all things. We are dependent on God. Certainly we can be thankful for what God has given, but also understand that we are dependent. And I think when we really understand that truly, is that we understand that prayer actually carries with it some very emotional and humble components. When we realize we're going to the God of heaven, we have a line to heaven, to God. There is some dependence mindset that comes in there. There's some humility that comes in there. And I think we realize that prayer can be very emotional. And when you look at prayers in the Bible, you start realizing more prayers are emotional than not emotional. That the emotions of prayer are connected there. I think the same thing about Psalms. When you read through Psalms, you're going to find some despair. I think you're going to find some depression. You're going to find some hardship. You don't find these things. You know why? Because Psalm singing is emotional. It is. And I think God understands that component of it. Prayer, a lot of times, is emotional. When you look at Hezekiah praying for the safety of Jerusalem, that's an emotional prayer. When Hezekiah is praying to extend his life, that's an emotional prayer. When Jesus is in the garden praying, not my will, but yours be done, that's emotional prayer. When Hannah is praying for a child, that's emotional prayer. When we're praying for help, when we understand that we are dependent, we understand the humility aspect that comes with prayer, prayer has some emotion tied to it. And I think it's by design. I think prayer really is there for us all throughout our lives, but particularly we see in some of the darkest moments of our lives. We make the call, we ask for some help from the God of heaven. This is not an exact connection, but in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says this. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." What connection he's trying to make? He says, "My heart's desire and prayer." Now, I understand what he's talking about in context, but I think it's interesting that the Apostle Paul connects those two ideas. He says, "My heart's desire and prayer." You understand that your prayer many times is your heart's desire. Now, our heart's desire needs to be in tune with God's will. I understand that. But you understand that really the true prayer that God wants in our private prayer lives is connected, I think, with our hearts. It's connected many times with our emotions. It's many times connected with the outward circumstances that we are going through at that time. My heart's desire and prayer, I think our prayer is connected to our emotions. And you know what? In Matthew chapter 6, it says, be careful about certain types of prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, the Bible says this, Jesus speaking. He says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. And surely I say to you that they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you are in need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray." There are a lot of components here in Matthew chapter 6, a lot of components. But one idea that's found here is the idea of God is not a fan of vain prayers or empty prayers. Sometimes I think these can be repeated prayers. Sometimes people get in the habit and they'll say the same prayer over and over again. And I can tell you, if you don't mean it, that's not the prayer God's looking for. And I actually think repeated prayers are really in danger of actually being in violation of this, because you know where prayers really should come from? It should come from the heart. That doesn't mean there's not thought and consideration. I know that whenever I was on the list to serve and I was going to prayer in terms of the congregation, I would try to dedicate some time, even if it was just me turning away or looking down, I would try to think about things that I thought were important that needed to be prayed for. But You know, sometimes we find faults in ourselves. I was actually talking to Sarah about this in terms of tonight. I always do a prayer at night with the kids, and I was really thinking about my prayer. My prayer has to come from my heart every single time. And you know what? If you start repeating the same thing, sometimes you can fall into the trap of it not really meaning or coming from the right place. And I kind of thought about that when I pray with my kids at night. Is sometimes I get very close to kind of saying the same things. I'm just trying to get it out and get them to bed. But really, it's got to be from the heart every time. I tell you, if you pray from the heart, you won't have vain repetitions. You will not have vain repetitions if you pray from your heart. If you're praying for what you're going through, what you're struggling with, those people that you really care about, those people that you're thinking about, those people that you want to be healed, those people that are going through sick times and hard times, when you're praying from the heart, you're not going to have vain repetition. I really believe that. But I think we can fall into that trap of vain repetition sometimes because we're not actually praying where I think God really wants us to pray from. Pray from the heart. What are you going through? What are you concerned about? And when you really think about that relationship with your parent, when you call your parent, or you call that person, don't they really care for you so much? They just want to help you with whatever you're going through. And that's the God that we serve. Whatever you are going through, whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, those people that you're concerned about, those people that are on your mind, the world, evangelism, all those things that are on your mind, those things that are on your heart, those should go to God. Are you praying for help? If you pray for help and you pray from the heart, I think our prayers will be where they need to be. Don't repeat the same thing unless you really mean it. Sometimes we need to pray for the same thing. There are people that are sick and we can pray and pray and pray and pray. I think that's fine, but it needs to be from the heart every time. Because I think that's what really God is looking for. Prayer is connected to our emotions. When you look at prayers, find prayers in the Bible that are not connected with emotion. They are connected with emotion. These individuals are going through hard times, trials, tribulations, many of these things. Hezekiah, national crisis. Hezekiah, diagnosed with a terminal disease. Emotional prayers. Going to the Lord and asking for help. And you know what? As we grow and develop, I think our prayer life will grow and develop. And our prayer life should grow and develop where we're not making requests just for ourselves, but those that are around us. Is that we should go to prayer, go into prayer, making that call, not only for ourselves, but for others. You know, I think of Job. It says Job would wake up early in the morning. I know it's not prayer exactly, but he would wake up early in the morning and he would make sacrifices for his kids. Do you pray for your kids? Job chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, he said he'd wake up early in the morning, he'd make all these sacrifices for his kids. Do we pray for our kids? Do we pray for others? You know, as we go into being a parent, it's amazing how much our life sometimes shifts. Because you're kind of in this spot where, I remember, I could get ready for church in about 20 minutes. You know, I could hop into a shower real quick, I could pump out there, and I could get my stuff on, I could go. You know, with my kids, it takes me an hour just with my kids. Takes me about half an hour, you know. It kind of changes your life and your perspective and what you're focused on. Is that you've got these human beings, in my case, that are depending on me, that I'm watching over. And as we grow and mature spiritually, there are other people we think about. We're not just thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're thinking about our physical family, yes, but our spiritual family. You pray for the government. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Certainly there's other places we could go. It says, therefore I exhort you first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Do you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you pray for the government? Do you pray for the law? You need to make the call to keep the lines of communication open. You need to make the call to ask for help, not only for yourself, but those that are around you. And that should come from the heart. And number three, I think we need to make the call often. Can I ask you humbly this morning, how often do you pray? When's the last time you said thank you to God? When's the last time you asked for something from God? Certainly you want to be aligned with God's will. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. You know, those action words in the Greek, you know, I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but interesting, the Greek verb, they can be stated as a one-time thing, but it can also be stated as a continual thing. And in Matthew chapter 7, it is a continual thing. When it says ask, it means this idea of continually asking. When it says seek, it's this idea of continually seeking. And I think when it comes to our prayer life, that is the idea that follows, is we need to be constant and consistent. We see this with Daniel when he's in Babylon. Prayer was a part of his life. It was his custom from a young age. We see that with Daniel. They make the law and he says, I'm going to continue to pray. It's always been part of my life and will always continue to be a part of my life. I've always been amazed by Jesus and his prayer life. If there was somebody who didn't need to have a private prayer life, if there was somebody who didn't need to make calls to God, it would certainly be Jesus, but yet we see Jesus perhaps had one of the most consistent prayer lives. Here's just a few verses about Jesus. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. It says, and it happened, as he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, he to the ground, say that I am. They find Jesus. He's alone. What is he doing? He's praying. Mark chapter 1, verses 35 and 36. It says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and 23 says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. If there was someone who didn't need a prayer life, it would certainly be Jesus. And I look at Jesus and I start to say, Jesus had a consistent prayer life. There are a lot of people, we look in the Bible, they had a consistent prayer life, and perhaps that's why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 it says, pray without ceasing. Prayer needs to be a part of our life, our private life. You know what? You need to pick up that phone and you need to make a call. You need to make a call, you need to pray to keep the lines open. You need to make that call to ask for help. Lay your heart before the Lord. And you need to pray often, because certainly that's the example that is modeled for us. Do you pray? Do you pray that the way that you should? Certainly we can all do better. You know, when it comes to becoming a New Testament Christian, although many things are said, I would challenge someone to find where somebody prayed to become a New Testament Christian after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Prayer is very important to our lives, but in terms of becoming a New Testament Christian, that's not the pattern that we see. Once Jesus has died and he's resurrected, we see that the apostles start in Jerusalem. And they start preaching their remission of sins. And I think throughout the book of Acts, we see the pattern of individuals hearing the word, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized for their remission of sins. Perhaps you need to pray for the church this morning. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you have questions. We'd love to help you in any way that we can to become as we stand as we sing.